The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Let's talk about the cost of building apartments, because a new report out today, it was compiled by the consultancy group Mitchell McDermott for the Department of Housing, tells us that the cost continues upwards. Owen McIndary is with me. He's an associate at Mitchell McDermott. Owen, you're very welcome to the show. So what have you guys found in terms of the delivery cost of different types of housing units?
Hi, Kieran. Thanks for having me on. So I suppose the report, build on a report we did last year, where it compared construction costs in Ireland to some other European countries. And this particular report, I suppose, built on that to give the total development cost. So the bricks and mortar piece, plus the soft costs, so pressure fees, VAT, and so on. And we looked at four different building types. So we looked at a three-bed semi-detached house, a two-bed suburban apartment, a two-bed urban apartment, and a purpose-built student accommodation bed space. Now, they're all very different types of buildings. And I suppose the costs range from a three-bed house, a total development cost of just over 450,000, a two-bed suburban apartment, just under 550,000, two-bed urban apartment at just under 592,000, and a student bed space of just over 207,000. And these include all-in costs.
So what does all-in costs mean? I mean, what's the breakdown, say, between so-called hard costs and soft costs, as they're often described?
So it's about 50-50 in terms of across the four different building types. And I suppose the first 50% is the bricks and mortar, so the stuff you see and touch, the end product. But in the other 50% is stuff like professional fees, utility connections and levies, land costs, sales, legal advice, cost of finance, VAT, and development contributions. And I suppose there is a waiver at the moment with development contributions until the end of 2026. Mm. But it is a temporary waiver, so the cost of quota there include for the development contributions.
So what is it that makes building apartments, the delivery of apartments, so expensive compared to your three-bed semi?
I suppose there. If you think of a house in simple form, it is very domestic. And I suppose the nature of the trades and the technical details go into it, it is kind of very relatively simplistic. In terms of regulations, an apartment building, I suppose, is more akin to probably like an office building in terms of structure, its building envelope, fire regulations. There's a lot more detail. And I suppose the other big difference is with an apartment scheme is you usually have to build a car park structure. So whether that's a fully submerged car park basement or a podium which sits above the ground. Mm. So that's an added cost that an apartment scheme has to carry.
I'm betraying my own naivety here, Owen, more than anything else. But I would have thought, you know, kind of economies of scale would have applied to the apartment block, and maybe kind of on an individual level they were expensive, but so many were being built in one spot that it would work out an awful lot cheaper than this. This is very expensive.
It is, but I suppose the it isn't anything new in terms of, I suppose, previous reports been over the last couple of years by SSI as well as others. It's something that's been out there for a long time, and the type and size of even the supply chain, and when I say that, I mean the main contractors and all the different trades to do it. They're larger companies that require to do them in terms of more sophistication as opposed to a three-bed semi-detached housing. And I suppose the other thing that does come into this is delivery models, which I suppose can get a bit complicated, but it's whether you bring in a third-party contractor to do the delivery or some builder developers, as we call them. There's some big in the country. They have certain efficiencies in terms of how they deliver and costs can sit in different pots.
Conor O'Connell is with us as well. He is Director of Housing and Planning at the Construction Industry Federation, CIF. Conor, you're welcome to the show. Do these figures today, Mitchell McDermott's updated figures, do they chime with what you're hearing from members?
Thanks, Kieran, and thanks for having us on. Yes, absolutely. And it is, what it does is it reinforces several other different reports over the last 12 months. look from the Department of Finance over the summer that examined the cost and availability of development finance, and they had a cost for of delivery for a standard two-bed apartment of 496, excluding VAT and margin, and that would bring it up to the 600,000 euro mark for a two-bed city centre location. So it absolutely, you know, aligns with every other single report that's been done on the costs of delivering urban apartments, which, as Owen has outlined, are, you know, tricky. They're more detailed, harder to develop, harder to build out. So there's a significant higher cost associated with their delivery.
So does it mean it's impossible to deliver social or affordable apartments?
Not at all. They are being delivered. Thankfully, there's a number of, this has long been recognised over the last number of years, that apartments are very difficult to deliver and build out in comparison to your typical 3 and 4 bedroom semi. So government policy over the last number of years has tried to make them more affordable to deliver. Croí Cónaithe, Project Tusi, cost rental schemes with the approved housing bodies. Unfortunately, the biggest purchaser and funder of private apartment blocks have largely left the Irish market over the last number of years, the PRS schemes. So it is the state at the moment that is subsidising apartments. But they do require incentivisation. The Housing Commission report stated that incentives for apartment delivery are wholly inadequate. The Office of the Planning Regulator has said that in relation to brownfield land activation, it does need public funding or economic support. And thankfully, some of these schemes are in play, they're in their infancy, and hopefully they'll deliver. But ultimately, we do need the international funds back in the market.
So when I the question I asked, I think, was, is it impossible to deliver social or affordable apartments? Maybe a better question would be, is it possible to deliver social and affordable apartments without the state covering some of the cost?
No, social and affordable apartments, by their very nature, are public housing. They're delivered via public procurement methods, generally speaking, or other methods. So therefore, they're by and large funded by the state in some shape or form to get a greater mix and a better mix of tenure types and a better mix of apartment typologies, etc. You do need private type rental stock as well.
Should we be doing something on the soft cost side of things, Conor? Should the government be looking at that in terms of, I'm thinking of the people maybe in between, you know, they don't necessarily qualify for social housing. The example always given is, for some reason, it's like kind of the match made in copper's heaven, the guard and the nurse or something. You know, they don't qualify for the social or affordable, but yet a new apartment for 600,000 euro plus is beyond their reach as well.
No, there are schemes that are really, Ciarán, it's fair to say that only in the last year, 2 years are beginning to kick off, such as, you know, the cost rental schemes for the approved housing bodies, which will deliver apartment rents at 25% below market rates. There's Croí Cónaithe, which will provide, you know, a direct subsidy to ensure the cost of an apartment for sale will be more affordable than it otherwise would be. So, look, but, you know, and there has been, you're talking about soft costs, the development waiver and rebate scheme has been very successful in incentivizing some commencements. We've seen a record level of commencements for the first 9 months of this year. A lot of those are apartments that will be...
Conor? No, I think we seem to have lost Conor there. We'll get him back on the line. Bertie says, if dog boxes in the sky are so expensive, why are we building them? Why, oh why, so somebody else, can't we build apartments like the Plattenbau in Germany? I don't know what the Plattenbau is in Germany, but I take it it's something we should be aspiring to. I'll Google it in the next ad break. Build upwards and high density apartments is all we hear about the future of living in our cities. Then this is how much they cost. Are they having a laugh? And well, then why not populate the west of Ireland with loads of houses and apartments and bring the jobs there? Stop making Dublin the hub of everything, says somebody else. Conor is back with us. Conor, do we get too fixated on the delivery cost of new bills, and is too little heed paid to kind of the trickle down effect it has on costs elsewhere in the market?
Absolutely. Every economic study will show you that greater supply of all types of housing delivers a reduced price point for rentals and for sales stock. That's internationally accepted. There's report after report that illustrates that if you supply new market rate housing for both rental and sale, it results in lower secondhand prices in particular and lower rents for the secondhand stock.
When you look at housing targets, which, you know, are being revised upwards on the back of research carried out by a number of different bodies, including the ESRI and others. What's the major stumbling block from the CIF point of view in terms of delivering those units?
The biggest constraints in relation to reaching, you know, 60,000 units per annum, which is going to be the revised target, we hope, and that's certainly what we've called for and a lot of other people, is going to be the availability of zoned land with infrastructure and with planning. We've seen the difficulties, and difficulties will remain with apartment delivery. And our planning policy says that we need to deliver 50% within the existing urban area, which is going to mean apartments. But there has to be some sort of transitional arrangements which will allow us to deliver more units everywhere. And that is going to require zoning more land next to transport hubs with infrastructure. So really, in order to deliver more units, we need to invest very, very significantly in wastewater treatment plants, pipes in the ground, the electricity grid, transportation routes, etc.
Yeah, and you see, look, that the money that the government made from selling AIB shares went kind of in that direction to Irish Water, to Air Grid, to public transport. There's a kind of a suggestion reading between the lines that the exact same thing is going to happen with the Apple tax money. So maybe there'll be the types of investments you're looking for. But I mean, were that all to happen and were there to be more land zoned for development in the way you want it, what about kind of labour force constraints? Have we the builders? We seem to have lost Conor again. A question I'm sure I'll put to him the next time he's on with us. I'm sure I'll put to politicians many times between now and then, certainly with an election looming. 087 1400 106. When I lived in New York City, I built 50, 60, 70 story buildings, all residential. This is what Dublin needs. The land costs the same. The connections to utilities cost the same. And after four or five stories, the building flies up three floors a week. It makes apartments cheaper to build and safe spaces as well. Another listener, why can other countries build apartments with ample green space with playgrounds at reasonable costs and we can't do it here? The reason is it's overspec'd and there's no need for parking for everyone. There's no need for top of the range kitchens and bathrooms. If people want them, it should be extra. The regulations here are too strict. I remember similar arguments being made a few years ago when we were all talking about housing and the shortage of supply, and the example given in the Netherlands, or parts of the Netherlands certainly, where people buy a shell of a house for their first house, kind of four walls, it's plumbed, it's got electrics and not much more than that. And you kind of bit by bit do up the house inside.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.